At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win Unleashed, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only, Eric Holmes.
Woo! Let's go!
Sounds enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're going to lose so badly.
Giddy up.
Here we go. In today's episode, a towering mutant warrior whose entire body transforms into unbreakable metal battles a deadly warrior trained in ancient combat arts and dark mystical powers, armed with a blade that cuts through pretty much anything, or does it? In one corner, you have Colossus, a heroic mutant from Russia whose body becomes organic steel, making him the X-Men's main powerhouse. And in the other corner, you have Darth Maul, a deadly Sith-trained warrior and assassin who wields the dark side of the Force and a double-bladed lightsaber with unmatched skill. As usual, I did the patented Who'd Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and surprisingly, this battle has been discussed just a few times, like probably less than 10 times, which means it's perfect timing for it to get the Who'd Win treatment today. Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Yeah, I think this is just another example of these are the type battles that you would only find here on the Who Would Win podcast. So it's going to be epic, ridiculous, and very fun.
Listen, I know we're definitely going to be very violent. Sorry, kids at home. We talk about very often how, you know, the type of nerd cultures and fandoms we're part of. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big Star Wars guy. Are you that familiar with the X-Men's history and the characters, at least to the same degree as you are with Star Wars?
More so X-Men, but I'm more of a Trekkie also, but I've been around some Star Wars.
Just sorry you're more of a Trekkie.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the Force is not strong with you, and you will not live long and prosper, so continue.
Did you do the hand gesture for the kids at home? That's the wrong hand gesture, by the way. That's something else. All right, let's see what our judge has to say about this, because making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show is producer extraordinaire. It's someone who works with A-list talent all the freaking time. It's someone who's also really humble and doesn't really exaggerate about who they've worked with, because that's very rare in Hollywood, by the way, right? It's usually the opposite. Yeah. It's the one, it's the only, it's Andrew Birch. Andrew, welcome to Who Would Win.
How's it going, everyone? Thanks for having me here. That's a pleasure.
Very cool. Now, Andrew, you and I talked beforehand, but I want you to tell the legion of audience, our fan base, you know, what you've been doing, what you've been producing. Tell us all about, like, your world.
Well, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I've been in and out. I don't remember myself, like, not being interested in movies, film, but specifically that's just I was really into always how it's done, like from that side and from that perspective. But just briefly, I'm a Ukrainian, and everything started like in a small American owned company in Ukraine. It's Radioactive Film. Shout out to Radioactive. I don't know how, but we got all of the huge jobs, like literally all of the huge jobs, because it's very simple. It's 55 million times cheaper to shoot in Ukraine.
At least 55 million.
Well, I mean, just quick example, just to shut the San Francisco Bridge, man, it's like it's years of work. Like it's paperwork and like bureaucracy and all that stuff. In Ukraine, you just give a phone call, and in the middle of the day on Thursday in the traffic on the way back home, you just block the bridge in 3 minutes. Like you shoot 24/7. And that's what we did with Miley Cyrus when she was shooting in Ukraine. I think one of the craziest things I've been on is the Chernobyl from HBO. That was a huge ride. Like, I mean, I don't even think I'll be able to make something like that again. It was like this huge. But mostly that's like a music videos. It's a commercial type of thing. And, you know, when you're doing that with a great passion, it just doesn't matter what kind of like film job you're doing, because, you know, when you're in your own plate, it all full feels the same. It feels good. So
I got to tell you, so I've had the honor of working with some amazing people from Ukraine. Yeah. And what I've noticed is it's an incredible a combination of passion, technical know-how, and a desire to do it really, really well. And I also noticed that with Ukrainian productions, speed is key. Like, you guys just do stuff very, very fast. I'm not used to people doing things that fast in productions at that high of a level. You guys work so fast, I often get worried when they say, oh yeah, it's already finished, here you go. Literally, for a pilot I worked on with We Play Studios,
okay,
there was a first edit ready for me the next day of the pilot we shot the day before. And I was like, are you guys sure you didn't work too? Like, did you maybe cut some corners? Did you? And it was absolutely fantastic. That's what I think of Ukrainians in production. Is that a correct assessment? What do you think?
That's correct. But I mean, I think the only thing that moves people from Ukraine is that that was just from my side, that everyone thinks that Ukraine is like a sort of a third like world country, and nothing much. But when I was working like when Guy Ritchie came to us in 2018, he was producing one of the small commercials here for some weirdly supermarket or something, like something so stupid.
I love his supermarket commercials. They're so great. That's the best, his best.
I can't wait for it.
I think it was released already like a couple of years ago. But anyways, he was shocked, like, because that fast-paced environment where we're locked in is crazy, because he doesn't even know how to, like, he didn't even address the issues, because they were already addressed and solved, you know? Like, it was just something very, very fun working with those type of people. But honestly, as for what you said, is more of Ukrainians want to prove outer world that, hey, we not only can do it the same, we can do it better. And that's why, you know, like, we got a contract with Apple for like 7 years. All nice. Of the commercials that were shot for Apple are made in Ukraine. It's weird, but we like, for
example, well, WePlay, for example, like the first, you know, small little company that WePlay got in bed with for one of their productions. I don't know if Legion of Audience have heard of this company. It's the NFL. Mm. That was their first major production.
Correct.
Right. And you know, I remember talking with some of the management at WePlay, and they're like, okay, cool, what do you think? Is this a good fit? And they knew that was significant. I was like, you have just hit like the ultimate company to partner with.
Correct.
And that's your very first show.
That's awesome.
Really? I mean, what Ukrainians are, and WePlay, just the destination, that you're destined for success. You're already on your way there. But more importantly, why is doing the Who Would Win podcast the greatest thing you've ever done in entertainment?
Honestly, like, I don't even know. Like, you're talking about right now.
Oh, I'm talking about right now.
Take
like
your time.
I know.
Take your time.
I mean,
well, I know. I threw you a little bit.
And I just, it's something crazy, because I've been as a kid, you know, like the stupid games, even not official games, when they're like creating a fighting game and they're adding mods into it, like some crazy, crazy things, like a character from anime or versus like a soldier from World War II. And like, what the fuck it has to do with like, it doesn't even correlate. But when you pinged me, it was like, hell yeah, I need to do that. Like, it was.
This is something that just seems to resonate well with everybody. All right, so listen, we have Andrew Birch here with this Ukrainian production expertise who's about to oversee this battle as a judge for the first time. Eric, I don't know if we're quite ready for what's about to happen, because Ukrainian standards, I'm just going to say it, they're insanely high. So we better bring our A game.
Fitting.
We got to do it. All right, let's get to this battle. But before we get to the battle, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match, the rules, if you will. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. Now, it's Darth Maul you're representing, and Darth Maul has this great history between the Clone Wars. He's been in comic books. Mm-hmm. He's even made an appearance or two in some pretty interesting films. I take it there's no other version of Darth Maul you're using. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, very cool. The X-Men Colossus. All right, I'm going with the current Marvel 616 comic book continuity. Okay. What you see in comic books, that whole history of Colossus, that's the character I'm using. All right, now when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed whatsoever. Remember, the bottom line in a hoodwin match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for Darth Maul.
Yes. A warrior kidnapped at childhood and trained by Darth Sidious, a.k.a. freaking Emperor Palpatine. Maul is the epitome of a Sith assassin. His double-bladed lightsaber is lethal in close quarters, and his mastery of acrobatics and the dark side of the Force makes him a terrifying foe. Breaking out into his own, Darth Maul used his force, abilities, and his cunning to quickly rise up and become the head of a powerful galactic criminal cartel. There's cartels in the galaxy as well, people. But don't be fooled. His true power comes from his emotional state. Maul is fueled by rage, discipline, and relentless drive for victory, which makes him one of the most powerful and dangerous users of the Force.
You gotta love Darth Maul. Yeah, Darth Maul. One of the greatest things ever is, you know, after he, you know, spoiler alert, died in The Phantom Menace and in the Clone Wars, he came back. I remember running around my house going nuts and my wife going like, I'm questioning my life choices right now. This is who I'm married to.
Put some pants on.
Oh, you were there. Yeah, I forgot.
I was looking through the window.
It was, yeah.
You know,
Thursday
nights.
Yeah, the restraining order, I guess, just didn't work. All right, here are the facts for Colossus. Now, Colossus, a.k.a. Peter Rasputin, is a Russian farm boy turned X-Men whose mutant power turns his entire body into organic steel, vastly increasing his strength and making him nearly impervious to harm. As a veteran of countless battles, he's faced everything you can think of, every character you can think of in the Marvel Universe, especially my favorite character named Nimrod, who's this...
That's a fun name.
Yeah, I know, it's a fun name. It's actually Nimrod. It's one of the most powerful androids that came from the future that the X-Men really can't stop. Eric, putting that out there. Of course, he's even fought the Hulk. He's capable of lifting over 100 tons, smashing through tanks, surviving energy blasts that would vaporize most superhumans. Look, despite his gentle soul, Colossus is an unbreakable wall in combat, charging through enemy lines to protect teammates and willing to take any hit if it means victory or keeping someone safe. Just think of it this way. As emotional as Darth Maul is in battle, Colossus is not. And now you have the facts on both components. Andrew, do you have any questions before we get started?
I do have a lot of questions.
How did I know?
You guys are right now sitting next to me, and I'm like, well, you look more like Colossus than anyone else in the room.
Hold on. Go on. Sorry. Thank you. Yes.
Well, my main question is, are you guys playing like a OG characters, or it can be someone from multiple universe?
That's a great question. So we have to stay within characters. So it's going to be the main continuity canon of Star Wars that Darth Maul appears in, right?
Yep,
which
yep,
is,
correct.
You know, I guess whenever he appeared all the way to the present with comic books a lot as well. And for me, as Colossus, you know, the main storyline, I probably won't go back more than 25 years in the comic book history. I know. Yeah. I'm a nerd, man. Like, I did my research.
He can. He can go back.
Oh, I can't? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Valid,
okay.
But not
fantastic.
That you will.
Fantastic. So, yeah, we're going to stay within that character. So, for example, I will not talk about Colossus from Deadpool.
Okay.
Because that's not part of that universe.
Okay.
Just staying with the comic book universe. Gotcha. Great question.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Great question.
Yep, I like that.
This is good. All right. Eric, let's get this party started. Here's your point number one.
Yes. So, my point number one, Darth Maul has elite martial arts mastery. So, we're going to want to take your notes, Mr.
Wow, giving you orders already.
Well, I mean, if you want to, because I'm about to lay some points down here. All right. So, elite martial arts mastery designed to kill superhumans, not just humans, superhumans. He's a Sith assassin trained by Darth Sidious since he was a little wee when a little child. Trained to kill as a little child, but trained to kill. What kind of kids do you know are getting trained to kill around town?
Well, I grew up in Canada. Many. That's just a normal thing.
That's Ottawa thing? Yeah, all right. I'll continue. All right. He's a Jedi hunter. He literally hunts Jedis. Also trained from childhood to take down superhuman Jedis. Look, he took out Qui-Gon Jinn while fighting Obi-Wan at the same damn time. He's a lightsaber master. He's an expert in Juyo and Jarkai combat styles, which are both super aggressive and acrobatic. Fun fact, his attack style is relentless. He uses chains, feints, spins, and surprise angles, okay? He's a precision striker. He exploits even tiny gaps in defense. He easily counters brute force, and he breaks down super powerful droids. We've all seen droids, all right? And he can also break down other opponents by repeatedly. This way, he repeatedly targets the same spot to wear them down. The bottom line is that Darth Maul fights like a predator. He's very methodical, relentless, and deadly by design. And all that, James, is my point number one.
Okay, so I really like that point number one, but here's the problem with that. When you look through the Star Wars universe, and you think about, you know, when you think about Wookiees, and you think about Wookiees and all the other large, you know, beings, even Rancors and what have you, you know what he doesn't run into a whole lot? Things like Colossus. Right? A being who's got, like, you know, strength comparable to the Hulk, someone who's got that durability that's comparable as well. You know, you think about the most powerful droids Darth Maul has faced, or even the most powerful Jedi or Sith Lords or what have you. They don't, you know, as powerful as Darth Sidious is, he's physically not even close to being on the same plane of power and physicality as Colossus. So I do think Colossus represents something he's never quite seen before. Now, is it something he can overcome at the last minute? Let's figure that out. Now, let me get to my point number
let's
one.
Let's get to your point. Let's see here.
That's fair.
I've seen Colossus before. Go ahead.
You have. Well, I'm right here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying, well, I mean, Andrew just said it, so it's right here.
Judge, but
that's
we'll
right.
get to that.
Here we go. All right, so my point number one, let's just talk about the superior strength and unbreakable durability. So he's got this mutant ability where he transforms his entire body into this organic steel. This gives him that 100-ton class super strength. So if you think about it, in Marvel Comics, they have tiers of strength. Typically, you've got your 100-ton class, which is your Hulk, your upper-tier level, and that's where Colossus starts at, by the way. Good luck, Darth Maul. He's pretty much invulnerable, has crazy durability. He's survived laser blasts, you know, getting punched by the thing, Juggernaut, whatever. It, you know, falls from, you know, from space. This person can survive at all. On top of that, he's surprisingly fast for his size. In non-steel form, he's about 6'6", 285. And when he turns it on and activates his power, I should say, he's 7'5", 500 pounds, but still moves insanely fast. That is, you know, you think it's Chewbacca size. It's actually bigger than Chewbacca. Maybe around the same height, bigger, but yeah. Bigger, right? More jet. Like, if you look at me, I'm much bigger than the average guy. Same kind of comparison here.
Yeah. Give Eric. Me a Chewbacca. Give me your best Chewbacca.
Come on. I get paid good money.
All right.
Yeah. By the way, Eric, yeah, eyes up here. Okay. Right. And on top of everything, he's gone toe-to-toe with people like the Juggernaut. Against the Hulk, he's held his own, kept fighting even after being knocked across city blocks. He's carried entire collapsed buildings on his back to save civilians. He walked through energy blasts from these characters named, like, the Sentinels, which are these giant robots designed to kill mutants, and he just, like, cool, you shot me, now it's my turn, and just destroys them. This is the thing. With Darth Maul, his primary weapon is designed to cut conventional armor, but that Colossus organic steel, I think, is going to give him a lot of problem to a lightsaber. Remember, a lightsaber cuts through things because it's insanely hot. And Colossus has survived insane heat attacks in the Marvel Universe before. I don't think the lightsaber is really going to be that effective against Colossus. All of that is my point number one.
All right. I think you kind of hyped him up to be a little bit more than he really is. But Colossus is, you know, a pretty tough, big guy, seems like. Big deal.
Is that your assessment? 7'5", 500. Well, he seems like a big guy.
He's been out on the farm eating, you know, hanging out. A little Russian farm boy, right? Having all his little cows.
That's usually how they look like.
There's a lot of 7'5", 500 pound guys. I mean, that's where I came from.
Already, like, at 6, quitting smoking. So.
Right, yeah, sure. Wrestling bears and stuff.
7'5", 500, by the way, is the average size of women I used to date in Canada. But that's neither here nor there. Go ahead,
gorgeous
Eric.
Woman. Yeah. But my main rebuttal, though, and you were touching on it, Colossus is tough, okay? But his steel isn't immune to Maul's lightsaber. I don't think his steel is immune to that.
You know, this is an interesting point. We got to figure this out. We'll get to that. But right. Before we do that, let's go back to our judge. Andrew, you've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, I don't want to get into, like, my own experience, and I don't want to guess because I really want to see you.
Yeah, well, by the way, I'm intrigued. You have experience with lightsabers? This is amazing. Well,
so that's the thing, because I think I agree with you because... we never had any, even one time that in any movie there was mentioned that Colossus can survive the plasma lightsaber. Like, we don't even know if the plasma is something that he's resistant to. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he just has a great, huge physical power. Darth has, like, a super, super crazy speed. And, like, he's the guy who can maneuver everything. But, you know, there is, like, some minuses from both sides. For example, Colossus is, like, stupid as hell.
I wouldn't go that far. I like how Andrew looks at me directly in the face.
No, I'm gonna get him.
How dare you? Right there.
I'm like probably 70 pounds smaller than you, so I'm...
Wow, fat jokes are hurtful.
I will protect you. We will protect each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's see. Let's see how it goes. I don't have any idea as of now.
I like how this judge operates. You want to create some intrigue, suspense. Okay, very cool. All right, you've heard it first, Legion of Audience. Our judge is unsure of where this battle is going to go. Let's see what happens. Stay tuned for point number two.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And we're back. Eric, let's see what you got. Hit us your point number two.
All right, so force, powers that control the fight. Hear me out. Okay, he uses the force to counter brute strength like Colossus, okay? Maul's connection to the dark side is built to take apart powerhouses. He throws opponents and collapses terrain. He uses telekinesis to hurl enemies, crush them with debris, or force, push, mid-charge. He also disarms and unbalances enemies with the force. He pulls weapons, trips opponents, and destabilizes ground to throw heavyweights like Colossus, which you'll have to throw them off balance. He also can predict attacks before they land. The Force gives him some precognition abilities, which means he can see what's about to happen before it does. He also enhances his strength when needed. Fun fact, Darth Maul can boost his own power using the Force to increase his strength, and he controls the fight's pace and range. And mind you, Colossus is a big guy, so this is also going to work against him, tire him out. He uses the force to keep the battle on his terms, not his opponent's. And all that, James, is my point number two.
Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with anything except this. You mentioned precognition, yes. Right? If his precognition is so freaking... Yeah, if he's such a good precog, sounds weird when I say it like that, then why didn't he see what was about to happen to him in The Phantom Menace when he got cut in half? He's like, okay, I see everything. Qui-Gon Jinn got him. Hey, I wonder what's about to... Boom, and he gets cut in half.
Did you see that movie? See that one? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Eric's talking to our engineer, Jeremy. Jeremy, of course, has seen the movie. He's insulted you even ask. Right. And also, you know, Darth Maul's lost at some really big fights before. He lost to Ahsoka in the last one of the last episodes of Clone Wars. It was a great fight. Ahsoka's not, you know, if you lose to Ahsoka, that's not a bad thing. But, you know, if his precog was that good, surely he'd be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't even fight that battle. Maybe I should just stay home, or maybe I kill Qui-Gon Jinn and I call it a day and leave and fight another. But no, it didn't happen that way.
Maybe that's not his strongest.
All I'm just trying to say, that's not his strongest ability. Oh, really? That's convenient. All I'm trying to say is I don't think the precog ability is really going to come into play in a battle that he didn't even know was about to happen. Remember, it's a random encounter. Right? That's the whole thing. Now, let me get to my point number two. My point number two, I just got to talk about the relentless martial arts. That's the name of my martial arts school, by the way.
That's right.
Come check us out at Relentless Martial Arts in Venice, where you can train with Eric or myself. I'll be teaching a class every Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, so Colossus, more importantly, has a close combat fighting style that he really forged that fighting style against the best of the Marvel Universe. Never mind training with like Wolverine and all these other people too. Like he's not just a brawler relying on raw strength. He really is a trained hand-to-hand fighter, and he sparred a lot with some of the most skilled fighters in the Marvel Universe. He's routinely trained with Wolverine. He's learned how to deal with the savage, unpredictable assault patterns and like a feral level instincts of Wolverine, which then forced him to kind of refine his grappling techniques. And that's the problem. If Colossus grabs you, just like a lot of people I've trained with, you know, in Russia, you know, with Samba and everything else, you know, those are master grapplers. They grab you, they're going to twist you apart.
Dagestani especially, yeah.
Oh, Dagestani, thank you. Khabib, Dagestani. Khabib, thank you very much. It's Darth Maul versus Khabib in a bigger package, yes. Right? Like we're just talking. Look, he's also sparred with this character named Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is someone who can teleport, is built very similar to Darth Maul, probably more acrobatic, great with swords, and he has a tail, a prehensile tail, also like some of the women he used to date in Canada. Anyway, with that tail, he can actually make that hold a third sword. So all of a sudden, Colossus is fighting and training against someone who can come at him with three swords and teleport in and out. You know, so this, again, this, and is more acrobatic, I'd say, than Darth Maul and can match him in all the other ways. You know, and the Force, yeah, that's cool because Colossus has been doing the same type of training and sparring against Jean Grey, you know, possibly one of the most powerful telekinesis users in the Marvel Universe. So all I'm trying to say is everything that Darth Maul can throw at him, whether it's the Force push like telekinesis, the sword fighting with a lightsaber, the crazy instincts, the anger, the emotional outrage, or whatever you want to call it, yeah, Colossus has already dealt with that, except just the best versions in the Marvel Universe. And by the way, you know where he's gotten a lot of his training? It's called the Danger Room. So in the Marvel Universe, the X-Men Mansion, they have the Danger Room, which creates all these simulations, and they're the most advanced battle simulations on the planet, in the Marvel Universe, anyway, on planet Earth. And he's been training there for decades. And Professor Xavier, Cyclops, they push Colossus to his limits because they want to get him better and better and better. I don't think Darth Maul's been having that same kind of training, although it's been pretty intense. All that's my point number two.
Okay. So you got really excited about the Danger Room.
I did get excited.
Yeah. And amongst other things, that Danger Room mention, I can guarantee that there was no Darth Maul simulation, right? So they couldn't even prepare for Darth Maul. Okay, so that's one rebuttal to your little Danger Room.
Well, wait, doesn't Star Wars, like The Empire Strikes Back, as a film exist?
They ran film.
Yeah,
in there.
I know, right?
They were running film. Then my other rebuttal is one thing you have to remember is Colossus can't overpower what he can't catch, okay? So remember, Maul keeps the fight on his terms. So I feel that's a huge advantage for Maul when it comes to Colossus.
That's great. I remember fighting that one guy who was running away from me the whole time. And he's like, I'm winning. I'm like, are you? But, you know, it's all good. All right, we are now at the turning point. You've heard 2 points from Eric. You've heard 2 points from me. Who do you think is ahead in this battle so far? And what does the other side have to do to gain the victory?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Khabib.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you put him next to whole Marvel and like Star Wars squad, he'll just say, go 2-3 years to Dagestan and forget.
Yes, Dagestan, yes. Mountains.
So true.
The mountains, yeah. I mean, considering all of the facts, I still believe that there's a huge role when you're stepping inside of like a fighting area and you're trying to kick someone's ass, the biggest and the most main thing is your mindset. And I would go with Dart just for instance because he has this type of like mental education, which I don't think Colossus went through. Of course, like pain and losses and blah blah blah, but I feel like it's just on a different level. I would say if Colossus catches Dart just for 5 seconds, he's gone. I mean, that's obvious. Like his physical power and his size and like whatever. He's just a machine. And even considering all of this, I think like there's some types of, you know, like in the movie with what was that? Me Robot with Will Smith?
Or how it's called? iRobot?
iRobot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can easily replace parts, right? Always. Even if you're lost, mm-hmm. if you're gone, they can get you to the fab and like refabricate you one more time.
Yep, get some welding on you real quick.
Yeah, and he's gonna be on your ass a lot, like forever.
I like that.
That also sounds like some of the women I dated in Canada, by the way.
Sorry, never mind. Canadian women are gorgeous, all right. I'm gonna say that as an American, all right.
Yeah,
but I would still go with Dart. Just, I mean, honestly, I'm more Marvel fan than the Star Wars saga, definitely. But well, even if it was a Deadpool, I would still even think more than Colossus. But I will give my point to Dark, definitely.
Interesting. I don't agree whatsoever, but I do like how you're kind of putting this all out there. I do think I have an answer to combat all of that, but we'll see what happens. Stay tuned for point number three, and we're back. All right, Eric, it's now or never. Hit us for your point number three.
Yes, so I'm going to bring this home for you, Mr. Birch, all right? I want to get into weaponry, specifically lightsaber weaponry, okay, which is specifically designed to kill armored foes. We're all about an armored guy steel. Hear me out. Maul's double-bladed lightsaber isn't a normal sword, okay? It's designed to slice through armored droids, starship hull plating, and blast doors that can withstand laser cannons, all right? You notice as well as I do, James, throughout the history of Star Wars, lightsabers, okay, they have cut materials way stronger than simple steel. Sure, Colossus's organic steel form is super tough in his universe, but is not designed to resist energy blades like a lightsaber. Against Colossus, this is how it will go down. This is how I'm visualizing it, all right? He wouldn't need to beat him down, okay? He only needs to land one or two perfectly placed, unstoppable lightsaber slashes. Just slash him up. Maybe it sounds like that.
It does not, by the way. Go ahead. There you go.
All right. So much two, better. That was two.
That was good.
And then when that happens, okay, Maul wins by using his mobility and the force to stay out of Colossus's grip. To stay out of that damn grip of Colossus while slashing at weak points until Colossus is crippled or killed, leaving him incapacitated, well past the 2-minute rule, with no ability to fight back. And all that, James, is my point number three.
All right, listen, normally I would give a good rebuttal, but here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to go jump right into my point number three. That will also serve as rebuttal, okay? In terms of lightsabers versus Colossus, Colossus has taken on, Cyclops' optic blasts, you know, the light, all that kind of stuff. I know that's more kinetic energy, but still hits hard. Laser blasts, explosions. I do think a lightsaber would hurt Colossus, but I don't think it's going to cut through him. At least not, easily. I think he'll get cut. It might make him bleed, whatever it is he bleeds out or what have you. It's definitely going to hurt him, but it's not going to hurt him enough. Remember, think about, I hate to say it, Eastern European, Russia, that whole mindset. It's like, yeah, you cut me, you hurt me. Well, now you're going to die, right? This is not something. And by the way, that's exactly who Colossus is. So his whole farm boy act, so to speak, is really not a facade, but just it's kind of like a shield. He's trying to protect everyone else around him. Once you get him angry, and he's very tactical at the same time, he's almost sinister in his ability to fight. Now, one really cool battle with Nightcrawler, where Nightcrawler has been, evil versions, what have you, the way Nightcrawler started, he would hit him and then teleport away. Yeah. Hit him, teleport away, keep his range, keep that distance. And what Colossus would do, this is really advanced fighting. He picked up large rocks and started throwing them at Nightcrawler. In fact, he started predicting where Nightcrawler was going to be and started throwing rocks at where Nightcrawler was about to appear. So he'd all of a sudden, boom, bamf, teleport, smash, get hit with something. If he ran out of rocks, he'd pick up chunks of the ground and just rip it out of the ground and throw it at him. So having range is not going to help him. On top of that, Colossus is someone who's fought really good tactile, using great strategy to overcome people. It's going to take one, maybe two punches from Colossus if he hits him, one or two grabs from Colossus if he grabs him. I don't even think you need a submission hold. Your submission hold, if your Colossus, just grab him and crush him. Yeah. One or two crushes, one or two punches, one or two hits with like a large object he throws at him, which could be anything he tears off the ground or anywhere else, and Darth Maul is done. And by the way, if he thinks Darth Maul is going to kill, be a threat to anyone, he'll absolutely go there mentally and take care of it. Darth Maul, on the other hand, how's he going to kill Colossus? How is he going to incapacitate Colossus for 2 minutes? He's not going to knock him out. If he tries to use the Force, the problem is Colossus is so strong, he'll break free of the Force. When Ahsoka, who's a strong Force user, tried to push this other being that was the size of a Wookiee, the person just kind of braced themselves and withstood the Force push and then came after her again. And Colossus is way stronger than that creature. In the end, again, Colossus will go there mentally, already has tactics to deal with someone who's a ranged fighter. And on top of that, I don't think Darth Maul has an ability to actually incapacitate Colossus, but Colossus can easily do that to Darth Maul. That's my point number three.
Okay. All right. Good point. Point made.
Thank you.
Point made. I'll give you that. And you're still not talking about the type of steel here. You're still not talking about the type of steel. tempered, not tempered, melt, you know?
Oh, it's organic.
Is that organic? Oh, even stronger.
Like, you know when you go to the grocery store and you see like apples and they're one price and you see the other apples that are way more expensive? Yeah. They're organic. Oh. They're the same thing as Colossus armor.
Right, so he's an organic apple.
Yes.
All right, got it. Okay, so my rebuttal again is the lightsaber can slice through starship armor. Colossus's steel won't hold up, okay? Lastly, remember, Maul can cripple him. That's what I'm trying to say. So using his speed and force mastery, Maul stays out of Colossus's grasp or all the Colossus deal, you know, whatever he wants to do when he gets a hold of his opponents. He's going to turn the fight into a lethal dance where raw strength doesn't win. And that's the advantage that Darth Maul will have over Colossus, thus giving me the victory.
You know, I like the whole use of the lethal dance.
Yes.
Way to make that very artistic and poetic at the very last part. All right, listen, whatever we say is nonsense at this point because it's up to the judge, Andrew. You've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. Now it's time for you to render your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will. Yes. And tell us who wins this battle between Colossus and Darth Maul.
It's crazy because we need to consider so many things right now. Like, where do we fight? Like, is it just a regular, as always, Marvel type of thing where, like, they're destroying all of the New York just to...
I'd say it's a location that doesn't favor nor take away from either opponent.
There you go. Good question, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's the round three was more convincing, honestly. Like, more arguments and facts, but still, it's 50-50. As for me, even if I keep bringing all of that MMA examples, like if we look at the video where Demetrius Johnson, who's like, what, like 5'1", 5'0", like I don't even know how short he is. He was like friendly sparring with Brock Lesnar. Mm. He was running like for 3 minutes. Then he just choked him. Like, even Brock Lesnar is like 3 times bigger and heavier than him. It depends on so many factors, but specifically this one, that's my most important question. What is considered to win the fight?
So the winner of the fight is whoever incapacitates, but in other words, does something to their opponent, where their opponent is tied up, knocked out, whatever it is, and so if Eric and I fought, and Eric did something to me, and I was on the ground, and I couldn't do anything to Eric for 2 minutes, and Eric would be the winner.
Okay, I still remember that scene from the Star Wars where he was fighting some type of robot. I'm not sure who that was, but he literally jumped on his back and he kind of like he put the lightsaber over his neck and he was trying to choke him with the lightsaber and then he eventually cut his head off. Mm-hmm. Like I believe that this is something that could happen between Colossus and Dart, but like it's just so many different options, and I don't even think this fight would exist if you actually, that's the biggest fact that you mentioned here is that he reads so many different types of outcomes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He wouldn't be in that fight if he ever knew that he can lose.
Right.
Like, this is kind of like, this is pretty strong argument. On the other hand, I feel like, you know, you can just simply die walking in the street just by an item falling on a hat from the window. You
this
know?
Got right. dark quick. This got
please,
but you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I don't want to say that. But it's just stamina. I think stamina is always over like great physics, like strong power. So I would go for stamina. I would go for years of hard mental work, and I would go for stupid lightsaber. Man, it's crazy.
It's like, crazy.
If Colossus is an apple, like, I think lightsaber can deal with an apple.
Yes.
The organic stuff.
And in this battle, I think Darth definitely gets the victory. Woo!
Wow, Darth Maul is the winner. Go. That's interesting. I'll tell you one thing. There's one little iota of doubt put in my mind, okay? So it was a different version of Colossus, and it was in the Ultimates universe, right? And this military guy gets Colossus, and Colossus is like, they're fighting Colossus, and it's just a regular human, and Colossus is kneeling, and the military guy just sneaks up on him and puts a gun to his eye. Now he's in steel form, and he's like, I know for a fact if I shoot, this is still going to maybe not kill you, but hurt you very badly. A regular bullet going into Colossus's eye. Well, if a regular bullet can do that, a lightsaber with someone who's as vicious and insane as Darth Maul, could that happen? Yes. So I'd say his body is more durable. His eyes, probably not. And would Darth Maul go for his eyes? Absolutely. I don't feel horribly, I disagree, but I don't feel horribly upset with your decision.
Let's go.
Because I can see the logic.
I also feel like Colossus is that type of a character who can be bullied easily. Like,
wait, like, you're looking at me again. Really?
this is a big, large, bully child in front of us. Andrew.
Wow.
I feel like it's just been. I know we do not refer to Deadpool and the trilogy of the Deadpool. Has three movies, right? Yeah. But every single time he opened his mouth, he was shut. Like, In a minute, because he is easy guy to... I think he is like some sort of a childhood trauma or something. I think if Dart was gonna trying to get deeper inside of his brain, he would most likely try to you know, play on his nerves.
Yeah,
I like that. He does play mind games a lot. Darth Maul does.
There we go.
All right, you know what? I understand why Andrew's so successful right now, because he's looking at this from every angle.
Yep.
I am humbled, impressed.
Very analytical.
By the way, I still think I'm right. But that doesn't matter, because you're the judge. You made the decision. Right. It was awesome. Congratulations, Eric. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you feel with today's victory.
Yeah, I feel like a winner. Like a winner who can go and get himself a milkshake at night on the drive home and be happy with his milkshake with strawberries and little cookie crumbles in there. Because that's what I'm going to do with this victory. And I want to thank you, Andrew, for being a good judge.
James just texted me, get home safe.
Yes.
Okay, that was good. Because I'm going to get a shake with my little strawberries. And I'll be driving real fast to treat myself, so I feel good.
This is your victory, is a strawberry milkshake with some crumbles.
I deserve a shake, yes.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? Maybe go think bigger. Maybe think bigger next
time.
Like
buy a machine?
Like a hamburger. Maybe a hamburger with your milkshake. Yeah. Right. No fries, though. You don't deserve fries with this video. All right. Listen, Andrew, you were absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Hope you had a great time. Please come back.
Sure.
I have a funny feeling we'll need you back sometime soon. Mm-hmm. Until you come back, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Honestly, everywhere I've been working at. Like, I'm everywhere in the credits. I have a bunch of interesting interviews. I've been doing a lot of like sort of the video, short video cuts regarding filming, like how this works. Specifically, I love really playing around with light. I did a lot of like some tutorial videos, sort of how to make a great setup for your shot for the one that you really want to implement. And you know, It's just my first 2 years in the U.S. I'm trying to get there, like, but I still already met a lot of like crazy people, a lot of good folks, and I feel like I'll have more material to share with you while I'm here progressing in the U.S. But I don't think you'll be interested to.
Wait! Don't.
I don't think you'll be interested to hear me speaking Ukrainian, because most of my stuff is like back home.
Well, you know, there's auto translate on the bottom, yeah. Right? You know, so there you go. By the way, where can they find you? What's your Instagram handle?
Just a quick story, like a brief story that I, like, half of my life, I'm also making music. It's not like something that I want to be known for, but it's something that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of take it from me. I don't know. Like, so my Instagram is mostly directed in the music, let's say atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
My nickname is Birch the Rapper, but the thing is, I started making music before film, and then when I kept doing film, and eventually became very successful. I mean, more successful in film than in the music. I was like, I'm not gonna change that name, like Birch the Filmmaker. I just keep it as it is. So yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Birch the Rapper. You can have my YouTube channel. It's same Birch the Rapper, but different type of content. I do have like a lot of crazy stories, but I promise to come here more time, so I'll be able to share that.
All right, next time we want some crazy stories. Yep. Yeah. Done. Okay, looking excellent. Fantastic. All right, Eric, congratulations on a well-earned victory, well-researched, well-debated, by the way. Tell Legion of Bodies, our fan base, where they can find you.
Yeah, all socials, would love to connect. It's at D-T-H-E, Eric with the C, Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S.
Would you like to connect? Because I haven't seen you connecting with a lot of people online.
I'm a connector. I'm a toucher as well.
Sorry,
so maybe, but I won't touch you. Just connect with me. I digress.
I mean, I got enough of that from women in Canada. Okay, you can find me on X. They're large and run fast, Eric, is all I'm trying to say. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. I think we've got like 180,000 people in the Facebook group alone. It's kind of crazy. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.